Good morning, Chelvest and Caldicott and Chelston Rise. It's Wednesday, the 10th of June, and this is Adrian Dale with the Daily Podcast. Well, yesterday's podcast reporting on the council meeting was more popular than I expected. I had lots of feedback from people saying that it was indeed a useful way to find out what the council was doing on their behalf. Very few people attend, and very few normally take the trouble to go and search out the minutes. And the minutes, of course, only record the decisions taken, and not necessarily the detailed discussions that happened, nor the historical background. If this is useful, then I'll discuss with the council whether they'd be happy to publish a commentary podcast each month. Of course, my record of events reflects my own perspective on things and cannot be taken as a true record of what was said or decided. Only the recording and the minutes can do that. But one question raised with me was about the council finances. They were surprised at the closing balance of over £15,000 held by the council. Why this much and where has it come from? Well, our council is very transparent with its financial dealings, but it can still be a complex subject to approach as a novice. So here is my take on Council Finance 101. When I first joined the council in 1996, the finances were a complete mystery to me, and there appeared to be very little in the way of budgeting or financial planning. At least nothing that my business education recognised. There was just a pot of money that we kept dipping into, which seemed to get miraculously refilled each year. This pot wasn't very big, though, as the council didn't actually do a lot other than basically pay for the streetlights. When I became chairman in 1998, I set about reforming things. I wanted to know what our normal annual running costs were and what improvement projects we needed to do. And I wanted these two halves of the budget kept completely separate so that we could manage them differently. Now, last night I looked in detail at the present council's financial planning documents, and I was delighted to find that they still follow the same format, albeit with big improvements made by Mark Hunter, as you'd expect. So where does this money come from? Well, the parish council is a precepting authority. It has the powers to raise money from every household in the village and can ask East Northamptonshire Council to collect this money as part of your council tax bills. It's a little known fact that the parish council can actually demand as much as it needs from you, millions if it wanted. There are no government imposed caps. However, if a parish council tries to raise excessive amounts, they wouldn't be popular and councillors wouldn't last long in post. In this village, the precepting process is open and transparent. Every November, the council publishes and discusses a draft budget. This can then be commented on by residents until it's finalised in January. In January, the council formally sets the precept and sends off its demands to East Northamptonshire Council. Each household then gets the council tax demands through its door, showing quite clearly what this council has demanded. For many years, whilst I was chairman, the guiding principle of this village was to keep the parish precept to approximately £1 per week for a Band D household. And through the financial wizardry and the personal generosity of Mark Hunter, we managed to absorb inflation year in, year out, and still delivered major improvements in the village. The War Memorial, new street lights, the allotments, things I've previously talked about. And today, that precept is about the same, £1 per household for a Band D property. So what do I mean by Mark's personal generosity? Well, there is a story worth telling for history. We used to rotate the chairmanship of the council annually between the same two councillors. In reality, the only two daft enough to do it. Whenever I took over, I did a financial audit, and this was in the days before it was compulsory. In 2001, I found that the accounts were a complete mess. The clerk of the council, long before Mark Hunter, had not been paying our bills. The only cheques that had been cashed were for his salary. As an officer of the council, clerks are entitled to a nationally agreed payment, which reflects the size of the parish they work for. My recollection was that this was £150 per meeting in those days, reflecting 2 months' part-time work. Well, I sacked the clerk on the spot, and I appointed Michael Folger as the temporary clerk whilst we advertised for a new clerk. Now, my advert for the clerk's post was cheeky, and it turned out it was illegal. I decided that if councillors were voluntary posts, so should the clerk be. I knew that our previous clerk did less work than me as the chairman, so I couldn't see why they should be paid and not me. In fact, I was entitled to a chairman's allowance of £80 to cover expenses, but I had never drawn it. Well, this chap called Mark Hunter applied for the voluntary post. He flew through the interview and was quickly appointed. I'd revised the council's administrative processes, but Mark quickly took this to a whole new level. Furthermore, because the clerk was not being paid, our council finances were suddenly vastly improved, and we could start making a difference. But then Mark dropped his bombshell a couple of meetings in. It turns out that not only had my advert been illegal, but employing an officer of the council on a zero salary was also illegal. There was a stunned silence at the meeting, and then Mark made his offer. He was prepared to work for free as long as we financed his professional training to become qualified as a local council clerk. Well, frankly, we didn't know that clerks ought to be qualified anyway, or that training existed, but we quickly agreed. His next bombshell was that it would still be illegal for him to work for free. He needed to be paid a nominal £1 per annum salary. Well, that was no problem, surely, I said. Ah, but, Mark replied, the council had already resolved not to pay the clerk, so he couldn't legally reverse that decision until at least another meeting's time. In the meantime, he couldn't work. The solution was sheer genius. If the chairman, i.e. me at the time, was to dip into his own pocket and pay that £1 personally as a donation to the council, then all would be well. And that's exactly what happened, and it continues as a tradition to this day. Mark Hunter forgoes his salary each year, which should be nearly £3,000 a year now, and each year there is a ceremony in which the chairman of the council personally pays over £1 to the clerk. One year I was so grateful that I handed Mark the contents of my pocket, which amounted to £1.21, and this was duly recorded in the minutes. But the next meeting, Mark came back and pointed out that this was effectively a 21% pay rise. And unfortunately, this was also illegal under the public sector pay curbs. So Mark duly donated his 21p back to the council, and there was much laughter all round. Just imagine what future generations will make of all of this when they read the minutes. However, the benefit to this parish is enormous. The current budget shows an annual running cost for the parish of nearly £16,000, including the salary for the clerk, the true salary that is. And in this year's budget, the council's also planning possible improvements totaling nearly £15,000. So that's £31,000 worth of delivered value to the parish. However, the 2021 council tax precept has been set at just £11,000. So you now understand what I mean by Mark Hunter's financial wizardry. Year in, year out, Mark has not just been the best qualified of the county's clerks, but he's also got the best track record for running funding campaigns and for securing grant funding for the improvement projects in the parish. We financed the war memorial at zero cost to the council taxpayer. The allotments cost the council nothing to set up. The Cross of Sorrow is being refurbished through public donations. The village hall projection system came from district council grants, as did the council PA system. We're also fortunate in having two excellent grant-awarding bodies that trust this council implicitly, and they awarded a lot of money: the Wind Farm Trust and the Folger Trust. Grants from these trusts have financed substantial improvements throughout the parish. And guess who set them up, and who's clerk to both of them? You've got it. Our own Mark Hunter. So Mark, I'm sure that all our residents will join me in thanking our generous financial and administrative wizard. I know this parish would be a much poorer place to live without the work you've done. Thank you.